I've always liked the duality that is present in the Bible, that of a physical type and a spiritual type, such as the first Adam, who was physical, and the second Adam, Christ, who was spiritual, or the Old Testament being a physical covenant and the New being a spiritual one. This pattern of duality is also present around the throne of Israel that King David held and that Christ one day shall take up forever. For this sermonette, I would like to look at some of the similarities between the events that occurred in the run-up to King David's ascending the throne and Christ ascending the same throne, but for eternity. We can break down the similarities into 3 points. 1. They were both anointed long before taking up the throne. Both were men after God's own heart. And both had to wait until the correct time. So let's start by examining how both Christ and King David started their rule. Both were anointed before their coronation, and both had to contend with the present ruling monarch. So let's start by looking at the events that started King David down the throne, the road to kingship. We all know the story. Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons as the new king to replace Saul. But God had rejected all of the sons that he'd been so introduced so far. We'll pick up the story in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 11. That's 1 Samuel 16 and verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came unto David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. That must have been a sight. One minute looking after sheep in the field, next you're God's anointed king. Oh, to be a fly on the wall that night's dinner. Unlike David, Christ knew long beforehand that he was to be king. This was brought out in a sermon given by Mr. Armstrong, titled Plan of God, given at the feast in 1980. He says, Now traditional Christianity seems blinded to another fact. They talk about Christ as saviour, and indeed he is. But they don't talk about Christ in another category. Christ was born to be king. And they don't quote those passages, like back in the 9th chapter in the book of Isaiah, and you read of in the beginning of Matthew and at the beginning of Luke, where Christ was to be king and to sit on the throne of his father David and to rule over all the earth. And Christ was born to be a king. When he was on trial for his life, Pontius Pilate asked him, Are you then a king? And Christ said, You say I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into this world. King David was anointed long before being crowned. It would seem around 15 years between being anointed and being crowned. Christ knew he was to be king, but the gap between being anointed and being crowned is a little over 2,000 years and counting. Nobody can claim he hasn't got patience. King David reigned for 40 years. Then being a physical being, his life ended, and the throne was passed on to his son. And when Christ takes up the throne, there will never be a successor, as Christ is spirit and has no end. Now on to the second point. Both Christ and David were people who placed obeying God on top of their priority list. King David tried to obey God and put his laws first, but as he was human, he fell short on occasion. Mr. Armstrong, in the Passover examination sermon given in 1982, has this to say about King David's relationship with God. Now I'd like to show you something about David. You know, a lot of people would never understand how David could ever be called a man after God's own heart. Well, how could he be called a man after God's own heart? Look at the things he did. God wouldn't let him build the temple in Jerusalem when he asked God, God thought it a good idea, all right, and wanted it built. He said he wouldn't let David build it because David was a man of war. He'd shed so much blood in killing people in battle. And not only that, but when God told him not to take a census of his nation, he went ahead and did it anyway, and disobeyed God deliberately. And God really whiplaid him and punished him for that. I want to show you what David went through. In the 51st Psalm, here was a prayer of David when he woke up and finally realized what had happened. Most people would say, any man that does these things, he's no good. God couldn't use a man like that. And yet I think they must sit in judgment of God's calling a man like David, a man after his own heart. Well, here is why David's a man after God's own heart. Look at this prayer. He was crying out to God, and he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Now he's beginning to admit his transgressions. He's admitting how wrong he was. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. Now he's confessing it. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And then notice in verse 10, I won't read it all, it's just a notice in this prayer. In verse 10 it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. He confessed his sins, and David never did it again. End quote. This constant willingness to turn, to repent, is what earned David the title, a man after God's own heart. And now let's look at Christ. Just like King David, he placed obedience to God the Father above all else. Shortly after the miracle of the loaves and the feeding of the 5,000, while he was explaining that he was the bread of life, we read the reason why Christ came to this earth and what he was to do. This can be found in John 6 and verse 38. There's no need to turn to it, but it reads, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Christ came not for his own reasons, but in obedience to God's plan, which he followed perfectly. We know that God the Father approved of this, as we read in Mark 1, verse 10 and 11. That's Mark 1, and we'll read verses 10 and 11. And straightway, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the third point, not jumping the gun. Both Christ and King David had opportunities to take up their rightful place as king long before they should, but their attitude both towards God and those already in power speaks volumes about their character. So let's start by looking at a few times where it looked like God had delivered King Saul into David's hands. The first time can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Saul was pursuing David into a mountainous region. King Saul found David, but not quite how he had hoped. He had entered a cave where David and his men were hiding, and David's men argued that God had delivered Saul into his hands. So let's pick up the story in 1 Samuel 24 and verse 4. That's 1 Samuel 24, we'll start reading in verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as you seem fit good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. David's men were expecting him to take up his throne then and there, with violence and blood. But David merely cut off Saul's skirt, and later he felt bad even doing that, saying, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed." Even though he too was God's anointed, David refused to lay a hand on another of God's anointed, even though he knew he was to be the next king. This wasn't even the only time it looked like God had placed Saul into David's hands, as we see later in 1 Samuel verse 26, where Saul once again was pursuing King David and his men, this time into the mountainous wilderness area of Ziph. At least I believe it's pronounced Ziph. This time, David came upon Saul as he slept, and even had a spear right by his side ready for use. But once again, David refused to strike down God's anointed, saying in verse 9, "Who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" King David knew how to obey God's commands, and he understood that it is God who raises kings and who lowers them. When King David was crowned, his obedience to God's law caused a time of great material prosperity for Israel, and God promised that there would always be a descendant of David to sit on his throne. Ultimately, Christ himself will take up that throne and rule over the whole earth, and since Christ is a descendant of David, God's promise will be everlasting. And let's look now at the time when Christ was offered the throne. This occurred when he was qualifying to take the throne from its current occupier. Christ had been taken into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. After Christ had rejected the first two temptations, Satan offered him the ultimate deal, as we read of in Matthew 4, and we'll start reading in verse 8. So that's Matthew 4, and verse 8. "Again, the devil taketh him up into the exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Satan seemed to be offering him his throne, but with a sting in the tail, that he, Satan, would remain over Christ in authority, and that Christ would have to worship and obey him. This, of course, would make Christ break the first commandment of "Thou shalt not have none other gods before me." Satan once again was trying to place himself above Christ and usurp God's throne. Christ knew, just as David had, that it was God who had the authority and power to place whoever he wanted on the throne of the earth, and he knew that for the time being, Satan is the ruler of this world, but not for much longer. As we know, Christ did qualify for the throne and the throne of the whole world, and he is right now waiting for God to remove Satan from that throne and place him there forever. So in conclusion, there are many parallels between the ascension of Christ and David. Both were anointed king long before they took up their rightful place. Both placed what God wanted first above all. And they both waited for God to place them on the throne and not take matters into their own hands. We are still waiting for God to send Christ back to the earth and take up his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This wait is best explained by Mr. Armstrong, as he wrote in an article in The Plain Truth of January 1979, titled "Supernatural Forces on a Collision Course, What Now?" When God sentenced the world, all except very few comparatively, that he would call to be cut off from God, he, at the same time, allowed Satan to remain. There were two vital reasons for this. One, the throne of the earth on which God placed Lucifer must not be vacant. Even though Lucifer was disqualified and his name changed to Satan, he must occupy that throne until his successor, Christ, has qualified, which he did in AD 31, and been inducted into office as he shall be at his second coming in supreme power and glory. And second, as Jesus had to qualify by rejecting and overcoming Satan, so must all those, from righteous Abel on to now, also reject and overcome Satan in order to qualify to sit with Christ on his throne when he ousts Satan and himself sits on that throne over all the earth. It really can't be long now.